Hello and welcome to your Active Tech Brief podcast. My name is Elisa Grizzi, your technology editor. This week, we're looking at the AI Liability Directive, a curious little piece of legislation that we haven't paid so much attention so far to, but I believe we will be in the coming mandate. We are joined today by Beatrice Schutte, who is a postdoc researcher at the University of Helsinki and the University of Lapland, and also Shu Li, who is an assistant professor at the University of Erasmus. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you, Alisa.
I've been trying to wrap my head around the AI Liability Directive, which we should probably call AILD for short, but because I am not quite clear if I have done that correctly, could one of you enlighten me as to where it fits in EU digital regulation and AI regulation in particular?
Yes, sure. So the background I'll say is like this. So we know that EU now is ready for comprehensive risk regulation for AI applications, and that is the EU AI Act. I think everyone knows that. However, the EU AI Act actually cannot guarantee that harmful consequences will not be caused by AI system. So in this regard, it is very important to set up effective exposed mechanism for compensating the damage caused by AI system. And in that case, liability rules actually will play an important role in compensation. And the problem then is whether the current liability framework can properly reflect the challenges caused by AI applications and then remedy victims in an effective way. And from a legal perspective, actually, at the EU level, now we only have the liability for damage caused by defective products, and that has been harmonized. And there's actually a kind of proposal for adapting the Product Liability Directive now to the digital age, and it has already been approved by the Parliament in March 2024. In comparison, actually, other damage liability rules are still determined at the national level. So in other words, the member states can determine how to compensate damage in their tort law, either based on strict liability or fault-based rules. So they can also determine in their national law the definition of some key concepts, such as what is fault, what is causation, and what is the damage covered by that law, as well as the procedures for claiming the damage. But you can see that now the liability regime is very fragmented across member states. So, and also it has been complained very problematic for several reasons. For example, it can lead to different levels of consumer protection in the EU, and also it can cause legal certainties, making it very costly for cross-border transaction. And all these issues actually have been reflected in the earlier public consultation in 2021. So the AILD actually serves as an attempt to adapt liability rules for the damage caused by AI systems. But we must be noted that the applicability of the AILD is only limited to the case of damage caused by AI system, where the claim is based on fault-based rules. And it only attempts to provide some minimum harmonized rules for easing the procedural obstacles faced by claimants, such as disclosure of evidence and presumption of a causal link. So in the last word, I would say the AILD, according to its current version, attempts to give claimants a fair chance to succeed with claims, but it does not aim to provide a fully harmonized liability regime, as its name indicates.
Before we go on in the specifics of the directive, could you tell me a little bit, you know, you mentioned fault-based systems. Could you explain to me what are, in general, the difficulties of assigning liability to AI products, considering the liability directives and rules that we already have in place?
Well, follow up basically on what my colleague just said in response to your first question. There are some properties that particularly AI systems, AI devices have that can actually challenge the applicability of the classic fault-based national liability rules that we have, depending on, of course, how strong these properties are inherent to the AI system. There can be strong variations because AI systems come in so many manifold shapes and sizes and ways of application. So we may have cases where a case that contains harm inflicted by artificial intelligence does not differ so strongly actually from, so to say, classic liability cases. So if we think that somebody uses some AI system just like they would use any other tool, but use it incorrectly because, for instance, they forgot to read the user manual, then there might actually not be such a big difference from do I use some sort of robot tool like a robot vacuum cleaner and knock some precious vase over, or do I use a manual vacuum cleaner? There is not so much of a difference. But if we think of the complexity of some AI systems that are basically black boxes, so we do not actually know how their decision-making process functions, to what extent their behavior is linked to some programming, or to what extent the system actually has trained itself, it may be very difficult or straightforward impossible for a person who has suffered harm to pinpoint this origin of the damage. So is it so that the system has a computer chip that is defective? Did somebody make a mistake during programming or training of the algorithm? Was there a system update that was somehow faulty? And as Shu has been mentioning previously, we have in the current liability rules the obligation for the injured party to actually prove the origin of the damage, the causational link, and fault. And this requires knowledge that the victim doesn't have or doesn't have access to. Mm-hmm. So this is what challenges it, and this is where actually now the AILD strives to provide relief, because otherwise people might directly refrain from filing a claim. And it will often also most significantly affect those who are already at a more vulnerable position, such as consumers or women or the elderly.
Right. So in general, liability laws want a very clear link between the harm and the product, and the manufacturer or developer of that product. And with AI, we are in a situation where that link cannot be provided very clearly in general, but also you're saying specifically the injured party cannot themselves understand that link and prove that link because of the lack of access to the information and the complexity of the technology, which makes it harder for them to make good claims.
Exactly.
Okay, got it. So how does the directive fix these problems? I mean, this black box problem is a very tough problem to fix. And there is some argument, to be fair, as to whether AI systems are black boxes at all. But putting this aside, how does the directive try to fix these problems, and where are its strengths and where are its weaknesses?
Yes, I think there are two major rules proposed by this AILD. First of all, in its Article 3, it sets up the rules to help injured persons to request a disclosure of evidence. And secondly, in Article 4, it also sets up the so-called rebuttable presumption causal link to help them to establish the causal link between the fault of defendant and the output of an AI system. And as you also mentioned, what are strengths and what are the weaknesses of this AILD? I would say the current version is not that far-reaching. So this is a good thing because it only focuses on the most demanding challenges now, which is to help the injured parties to alleviate their obstacles when they're seeking for access to justice. So this is a good point. It will not address or try to harmonize some key concepts such as what is fault, what is causation and how to identify the damage. So these are still determined by the member states. So in that case, I can expect that, okay, member states may have a little controversy over the current proposed version, because also the AILD in nature, it defines itself as a minimum harmonized directive, which also allows member states to develop more stringent rules. So that is a good thing, which strikes a balance between decentralization and harmonization. And another good point that I can say is that AILD considers its consistency with the proposed AI Act. So, for example, some concepts like what is AI, what is high-risk AI system, and also who will be the provider or deployer of the AI system, actually all these definitions will follow the definitions given by the AI Act. So that is also a good point. And also I would say it takes proportionality principle very seriously. So although it sets up the rules to help injured parties, I would say the rules also try to make sure that the legitimate interest of all other stakeholders can be considered and protected. Regarding the victimness, I would say, and also I talk with many other colleagues in this field, the current version is simply too complex to implement, which means that the words or the expression of the legal text to some extent is not that clear. So for example, it uses a lot of words such as reasonably likely when it's trying to establish the causal link. This will give a lot of discretion to the domestic court. But we know that the burden of interpretation will ultimately to shift it to the CJEU. So in that case, a lot of legal uncertainties and the work will be should be done by the CJEU. So that is still something we need to further explain. And also, lastly, I would say because the AILD does not aim to address the conceptual divergence when it comes to different concepts like fault, causal link, or damage. So this may disappoint some people, but I would say this might not be a weakness of this AILD because, again, as I mentioned before, also Beatrice mentioned, harmonization, the level of, and the degree of harmonization per se is actually a very, very controversial issue, especially when it comes to the domain of private law.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but those seem like pretty important definitions for harmonized standards. I mean, it would be hard to have an AI Act without a definition of a foundation model, right? So it sounds like you think that obviously there's a balance between the amount of harmonization that the directive can push for versus like member states' desire to have somewhat independent or some independence to implement. But do you think that harmonization is particularly important in the context of AI?
Well, there has been a lot of discussion in terms of harmonization in terms of AI, but also from a broader perspective. For instance, if we look at liability in general, or even go further in terms of private law. I mean, as we said already earlier, at this stage, we have a high degree of fragmentation when we look at liability because it is determined by the national laws of the member states. And this also creates a high degree of legal uncertainty for all stakeholders involved, because AI is not something that is confined to national borders. We can have a server in one country, but actually necessary data are being collected in another member state. And then training data may be used in yet another member state. And this creates legal uncertainty for someone who is negatively affected by an AI system, because depending on where you live, it might be easier or harder to obtain compensation if you have suffered damage due to an AI system, because we have quite strongly differing approaches, for instance, if it comes to immaterial harm. So harm that is not necessarily well quantifiable in terms of money. What's the price tag? And in some member states, the courts are actually more generous when it comes to awarding compensation for this. Whereas in other countries, they might not award anything or just a very small symbolic sum. At the same time, it also creates uncertainty for providers and developers of AI systems, because they cannot predict how, for instance, a national court will apply existing liability rules. It might also then be difficult for them to map out what exactly are their duties, what are their obligations. Then again, certain risks might even become uninsurable, and it might make the EU market unattractive as a whole. And this is not something that you would want as an end result, because the EU is a very significant consumer market. And if we had harmonized liability rules, this would increase predictability actually on both sides. So producers, developers, deployers would be able to map out their obligations more precisely. They would be better able to estimate what exactly are their risks. So they can calculate a risk benefit, what is insurable, what is not insurable. But we have already in the past, especially when it comes to harmonization of private law, we have seen reluctance in the member states because they want to keep their distinctive features of their legal cultures. So we have had some model frameworks. For instance, we have the principles of European tort law, or we had the draft common frame of reference, the latter meant to be some sort of a toolbox for private law. Or we had the proposal for a common European sales law. These were all mainly academic projects, and so far they have remained academic projects. So at this point, whether or not we will have harmonization, it is quite questionable because of this reluctance that we have previously met. However, on the other side, we have seen that for product liability, it has worked. So it probably will also depend on how now the AI Act is going to progress, and then in terms of alignment of the AILD with the AI Act and future evaluations, it remains to be seen.
Right. And the PLD also itself made these more abstract, like psychological harms, into something that you could ask a claim for, which is quite related to AI and is something that is in the AI Act, right? As in the prohibited uses, for example, include somewhat ethereal terms about manipulative behavior or using somebody's emotions or like political beliefs to persuade them for something. So we are seeing more regulation and more rules trying to like shape these ethereal harms into something that can be an actual rule that you can follow. But it seems like it's quite difficult to do that. And there is resistance from member states, perhaps, to like have two rigid definitions.
Well, the product liability directive is very, very restrictive when it comes to non-material harm. It has always been. Also, the first version from 1985, it does not provide any basis of a claim to recover immaterial harm. Now, the latest version that has been adopted in March has this: one can recover medically recognized harm to psychological health. So this is a very, very narrow exception. So any other immaterial harm that does not amount to this threshold, and then again, we will need probably interpretation by the Court of Justice as to what are the requirements for medically recognized harm to psychological health. So it is very restrictive. And this, again, also reflects the fragmentation across member states, where some national courts are more willing to provide compensation for immaterial harm and others are less willing to do so.
All right, we'll see this play out in the next mandate. Definitely a file to watch. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for this week. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, don't forget to sign up to our free Tech Brief newsletter to stay on top of tech news and digital policy developments in the EU and beyond. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast.